Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries, and welcome to our program. This is a special teaching series about the letters of Paul. And Paul has been a very prolific teacher within the church and Christianity. And most people think that the Apostle Paul taught about how the grace of Jesus kind of replaced the law of Moses, and that now Christians, because of our faith in the Messiah, that we have a different way that we walk before God than necessarily following the commandments of the law. That's, I realize, an oversimplified definition, but it's a fair definition of what the church teaches and what we've heard about the teaching of Paul. Now, this series that I'm teaching, I'm coming to you both as a believer of Yeshua, the Messiah, and I believe what the Apostle Paul has taught. In fact, I'm in complete agreement with him. But with regard to the interpretation that Paul was teaching something other than the law, I'm telling you that's incorrect. In fact, as a Torah teacher that I have been, I have found that Paul is one of the most brilliant Torah teachers that we had, that God has ever given to us. He's able to compete with the best rabbis with regard to that, and much of what we have in his writings deal with those issues, the proper teaching of the law and prophets of God that brought forth the Messiah. It's not two covenants, old and new, and the new has replaced the old. Paul's not teaching that at all. He was a very observant Jew. He kept the law. We have the testimony in the New Testament that says he purposely did that, even though there were rumors against him that he did not keep the law. Now, I opened up in the last week both the introduction of that as well as opening up the book of Romans. Why did we start with the book of Romans? Well, it's not because it's the first book of the first letters of Paul. It's because it comes on the heels of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, written by Luke, explained what were the early events that the apostles were involved with. But about the second half of the book of Acts is all about how the Apostle Paul became an apostle and the things he did, his three missionary journeys, ultimately coming to Jerusalem, this rumor about that he was teaching against the law, and how he went to the temple to prove that that's not true, and he was arrested and ultimately appealed to Caesar in his trial. He ends up in Rome. And the book of Romans is written by him in Rome to the Roman believers and to Jews that were in Rome. And the other letters, for the most part, were written in conjunction with the apostle Luke and Paul. And Luke distributed those letters out to the other congregations, congregations he had met with and had started when he was on his three missionary journeys. So it's logical that we start with Romans because we think it was one of the first ones that he began to write. And it lays out him being at distance from the brethren. He's now writing his teaching and he's expressing the same things he taught them, but he's also reinforcing and encouraging the brethren for it. So in last week, before I get there, let me draw a preliminary conclusion about my introduction. Here is the point of this teaching series. If I can show to you that the Apostle Paul taught the law in his writings, if I can show you he's following the law and teaching the law, then you cannot go around saying that he taught against the law. If he keeps quoting from the law and the prophets, then he's not taking issue with it. He's using it as the reference material for the teaching of the faith in the Messiah. And he's going to make that statement repeatedly, that that's what he's doing. But somehow or another, we have a lot of Christian church fathers, and these were decisions that were made many, many years ago, that Paul's words were being used to go against the law and the prophets. Now, it's true he was against the teaching of the law that was in error by the Pharisees and Sadducees. He debated them. He took issue with their teaching. But the New Testament and the language is, you hear the word law and you immediately say, oh, that's the teaching of Moses. No, the word law that he uses, sometimes he's referring to commandments that bring condemnation and death. Sometimes he's talking about the teaching that the Jews do, the religious leaders did that were opposed to the Messiah. And sometimes he's actually teaching what Moses really said. And in his writings, we're going to go through and show when he's teaching against the Pharisees and their version of the law versus when he's teaching the law for us as Gentiles and as Jews so that we could obey and follow the law correctly. The crux of this, and the reason why we have this controversy, is because of something that Peter said about the writings of Paul. In 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 15, this is what Peter said about Paul. He said, "Our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you." So he's making reference. Paul has written to you, and he has a certain wisdom that he's expressed to you. By the way, the wisdom that he was a Torah scholar. He had been a disciple of Gamaliel. Mind you, those were incredible credentials in that day for the teaching of the law. And then he says this, Peter, "As also in all of his letters, speaking in them these things, which are some things hard to understand." And that's where the rub comes in. People will go into what Paul has written. It's a little hard for them to understand. Why is it hard for them to understand? Because first of all, they don't know what the Torah taught. They don't know what Moses and the prophets taught. Most Christians come in, they open the Bible up, they don't go study the Torah first. They don't go study that first. They learn the New Testament stuff. They hear about Paul and so forth. He's referencing all that material, but they have none of that information. They don't know what he's referring to. They just jump on what did he say, but they don't have the background to understand it. Let's say that you wanted to take a class in mathematics, but you're at the level where we need to explain arithmetic before we even begin to explain algebra to you. But let's say that I'm going to write some letters to you because you're in math class, and I'm going to talk about the principles of trigonometry and calculus. Are you going to understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about numbers. We're talking about putting in mathematical problems. Are you going to be able to track with me and learn trigonometry and logarithmic computations and calculus and all of those kinds of things? No. Why? Because you don't have the background in mathematics to understand the principles that were learned from that I'm using. Matter of fact, you're struggling to do division, let alone multiplication, and here I am running this algebraic equation that's all over the chalkboard. The Apostle Paul, when he comes in, he starts teaching in the letters, "I can tell you this, brethren," he has laid out a chalkboard of concepts that come from the Torah and the prophets. And if you do not have that, some basic parameters, if you haven't been through the Torah cycle to learn certain basic things, this is going to get to be a little tough to understand what he's doing. The logic of his presentation and so forth is going to get twisted. That's what Peter said men do. He said that unstable and unprincipled men take the words of Paul, they twist it, they distort it, as they do the other holy scriptures, by the way, that's referring back to the law and the prophets, and they bring about their own destruction. I am here to tell you, my friends, as Christian brethren, fellow brethren, I have not found very many teachers in the Christian faith that accurately teach what the Apostle Paul taught. Now, when they're talking about that Yeshua is the Messiah, we're agreed. But when they're talking about the principles of how we are to walk further today, believing in the Messiah, that's when everything goes haywire, because they then tell you, oh, grace covers all of that. You don't have to worry about the commandments. You don't have to worry about things like clean and unclean, holy and profane. You don't need to know about pure and impure and so forth. And the principles of the law say that if you violate this, the principles of the faith say if you do this kind of stuff against God, he doesn't even listen to your prayer. Oh my gosh. We pray to God all the time. We want God to hear us. The principles are if you violate these basics, God does not regard your worship to be proper. You're defiled. You're unclean. He's a holy God. By the way, he commanded us to be holy just like him. How are you to be holy just like him if you don't follow his commandments? When you have teachers telling you, oh, you don't have to pay attention to those. Oh, you have to follow the moral law, but you don't have to follow those other commandments. Paul did not teach what Christian leaders are teaching today. So this series is to take you into his letters and show you how he was teaching the law. Again, my argument is very simple. If I can show you that the Apostle Paul taught actually what the law teaches and what the prophets actually taught, and he used that as the basis to justify our faith in belief and faith in the Messiah, that this is why we believe in the Messiah, then he's obviously not teaching against the law. He's teaching with it, and the law is a witness to these things. And when it comes to the doctrine of salvation, I'm aware that some of my Jewish brethren back some time ago, they thought, and Paul opposed them, so did Yeshua, that the keeping of commandments is how you get saved. And the old religious Jews in the days of Yeshua thought that. And Yeshua taught contrary to that. And Paul taught contrary to that teaching. That is not the proper teaching of the law. You do not keep the commandments of the law for salvation. Salvation only comes by faith. And by the way, I'm going to show you that that's what the law really teaches. He was teaching the law when he taught salvation by faith. So we're going to proceed into the book of Romans. Now, last episode I came with you, we opened up the book of Romans and into the first chapter. And we read the first verse to you, which says, Paul, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about, are you ready? The obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his namesake. So Paul is saying right off the bat, I'm a bondservant. Some people call me an apostle. Did you know most people call him an apostle, but they don't know about the bondservant part? Why? Because the bondservant part is he's making a testimony, I follow the law. There is a law of the bondservant in the Torah. You know when it's given? Right after God gave the Ten Commandments. The first commandment that God taught Moses for the rest of us, right after he taught the Ten Commandments, was the law of the bondservant. And Yeshua is a bondservant, excuse me, Paul is a bondservant of Yeshua. Yeshua specifically taught this when he said that if you will love one another by this, all men will know you are my bondservants. You see, when a bondservant becomes one, he has to go down and make a public testimony. He loves his master. He loves his wife and children. For the reason of love, he will not go out as a free man. And he commits himself for the rest of his life to be a servant to the master. Yeshua says, to show that you're the bondservant of me, you have to do the following. You have to make a public declaration. I love my master. I love my wife and children my master has given to me. And I love the brethren of my master. By this, all men know you are my bondservants. You're my disciples. And by the way, the term disciple in the New Testament is making reference to the law of bondservants. That's the law. Paul's stating right from the beginning, I am following the law. I'm following the definitions of how to be the servant of God that God specified. Now, with that said, he goes on to say that he's been commissioned to go to the Gentiles and teach these things, to teach about the Messiah, to teach about faith, to teach about obedience to the Gentiles so they can be a full part, because they are not normally instructed in these principles or in the concepts of the Torah. He's been commissioned to do it. By the way, he's a very capable teacher to do it because he's a Torah scholar himself. God commissioned him to do this. The other disciples, the other apostles, they were fishermen. They were common working people that went out to minister to common, regular people. They weren't Torah scholars. They weren't Pharisees. Paul was. And so God commissioned him. And in the book of Acts, we see his special conversion that he had, the commissioning, the anointing he got from the Messiah to go out and to do this. And he's testifying that that's what he's doing. So when we open up his letters and we begin to follow what he has to say, where is he coming from? He's coming from the position that it walks orderly, keeping the law. He's a believer in Yeshua of Nazareth as the Messiah, and he's here to teach the Gentiles how to walk uprightly before God and believe in the Messiah. That's what the letters of Paul for. He's teaching them the law and the prophets. Now, he's not doing it in a manner where, oh, well, let's take the book of Genesis. I'm going to teach you everything about it. No. He's taking the people from where they're at, what they're experiencing, and he's teaching directly to them in their setting, in their location, and teaching them how to walk before the Lord before it. You know, if you get a new believer, let's say that you have a person who doesn't know the Lord, has never been part of the faith, and suddenly they become part of the faith. They believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they believe they have forgiveness of sins. And so one of the first things that you're going to do is says, well, you know, you need to come and join the church so you can get further instruction. We have other teachers. And by the way, one of the things they're going to tell him in the course of, by the way, you need to stop sinning. You can't live that life anymore. You got a new life now in the Lord. And so you got to walk away. You're repented. You're walking away from all of those dead things, walking in the darkness and so forth. And guess what? That's what Paul's going to be teaching the Gentiles. He's going to be teaching, hey, you can't follow idols anymore. But where's the reference that says you're not supposed to follow idols? The law. He's going to be teaching things, by the way, you need to, your behavior amongst one another, you need to correct that behavior. You need to learn how to love your neighbor. By the way, that's the law. You can't be perverse anymore. You can't go out and fornicate and do all kinds of sexual nonsense and so forth. The law teaches you can't do that. You have to learn to the steps of walking and being holy before God. Where do you get the teaching on those things? From the law. The law teaches us the things that are holy and the things that are unholy, the things that are pure and the things that are impure. Now, the teacher who goes out and says, we don't need to know that. We have the grace of God. I have news for you. Paul said that because you have the grace of God, you do not have a license to willfully go out and sin. He said, God forbid you would do that. So he's teaching what we should do. Now, we're going to get into some of the argument and how he proceeds to do that so that you can follow along for what it is. Let me make a point as we go back to Romans. And when I left you off on the last program, I said, I'm going to teach you Leviticus 17 and 18. Why? Why did I say that? Because in chapter 1, he lays out a whole bunch of information about behaviors of people that are unacceptable to God. Now, the average person, when they read that, they go, well, yeah, of course that's unacceptable. And Paul's going to tell you that the reason why innately you have it within you to understand that that is wrong and not right is because God's law and some of these things is already in your heart. You as a Gentile, maybe you haven't been taught the Torah formally, but because you were created by God and that you know the Creator has something to do with what's going on around here, you already have within your heart a sense of right and wrong. And Paul's trying to explain to the Gentiles, don't you understand that sense of right and wrong that's in your heart? That's what guides you in your behavior. That when you do something you know in your heart is wrong, that's sin. That's right. That's what the law teaches. But the law also goes on to teach some other things that you need to know about before God that you're not familiar with, and that's what Paul wants to do here in the rest of his letters. He's making corrections for the Gentiles, even though innately they understand certain basic things for it. So he goes on, and one of the first things that I want to emphasize with you, and this is to be contrary to what you've heard before, the gospel is not just for Christians. when Yeshua came and he did the work of redemption, and we have the gospel message going on, that's not a message that, quote, well, the Jews rejected him, therefore they don't have the gospel. The gospel goes to the Gentiles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's the one that went out and teach. But, you know, we got certain Christian teachers that says, you know, Israel, the Jewish people, they rejected the Messiah, therefore the gospel's not for them. And they also say, well, the law is for them, but the gospel is for the Christians. That's false. That is absolutely false. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 about, is the gospel for the Jews also? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you know that the Greek Orthodox Church teaches they're the first Christians? That's a byline for them. They completely dismiss that there were any Jewish believers. Excuse me. Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. James was a Jew. The only non-Jew in the whole crowd is Luke. And somehow they go around saying, oh, the first Christians, they were the Greeks. They weren't the Jews. Well, if you can make that statement stick, then you can also go around saying that the New Testament is for the Christians, but it's not for the Jews. That the letters of Paul are not about teaching Jews. You could say it's just for teaching the Gentiles. This is a huge error. Let me just go ahead and tell you that in the book of Acts, there was a huge meeting with Paul, with Peter, with James, with some Pharisaic Jews who had become believers of Yeshua, and some new Gentile believers. It's called the First Council of Jerusalem. And you know what the discussion was about? Was how does a Gentile get saved? Now, Paul had come back, and he had brought some Gentiles with him, announcing that they had turned to faith in the Messiah. They came back as part of their journey. They wanted to share their testimony of an excitement with the believers back in the land. And when they came back, they ran into some Pharisaic Jews who had become believers in Yeshua, but were still caught up in the trappings of that you get saved by keeping the law. They hadn't quite processed salvation by faith yet. They were still following the old teaching. Well, there was a dispute because they rose up and they said to the Gentiles, oh, you have to be circumcised before you can be saved. This is in Acts 15. And Paul and Barnabas argued with them about that. Said, no, that's not correct. Well, they decided to have a meeting with several of the other apostles and the leaders there in Jerusalem. That's when they met. By the time they got to the meeting, these Pharisaic Jews had expanded their argument and said, not only do you have to be circumcised to be saved, you got to keep the whole law. You have to keep commandments to get righteousness so that you can be saved. And of course, Paul and Peter argued against it. Peter, interestingly enough, he made the point, it is I first, brethren, who went to the house of Cornelius, and I saw the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit and believe in the Messiah, completely apart of keeping any commandments whatsoever. Those were the first Gentile believers. It was through my ministry, Peter, not through Paul. And there's a conclusion that comes out of that meeting. And that conclusion was given by James. He was the one that was sitting in judgment to kind of referee and moderate this whole discussion. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 15, verse 19. He's giving the conclusion about not only the doctrine of salvation, but he's also giving the conclusion, what is to be taught to the Gentiles? And I submit to you that what I'm about to read to you is what Paul goes out and teaches the Gentiles. He's following the instruction and the agreement that was made from this council. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 15. This is the conclusion to it. By the way, let me back up. I want to make sure I cover this. Here's how Peter summarized his whole argument about salvation by faith. He said, verse 19, God made no distinction between us and them, the Gentiles, cleansing hearts by faith. Peter testified, I've seen Gentiles get saved by faith. I've seen Jews get saved by faith. There's no distinction with God. If you come to God in faith, you receive salvation. You receive forgiveness. No question about it. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't make any difference. So with that convincing argument, and the evidence was clear that God had done that before them already, and we had Paul bringing Gentiles in who gave the same testimony, James now renders his judgment. It begins at verse 19. Therefore is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. And by troubling them is telling them they got to keep a certain set of laws to be saved. But that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. So he says there's three things they got to do. Some Christians get confused about the last one. They think strangled and from blood is two separate things. They're the same subject. Let me summarize that for you. You know what we're talking about? Leviticus 17 and 18. Because today I'm going to walk you through Leviticus 17 and 18. I'm going to show you that it teaches against idolatry. It teaches against eating the unclean. And it teaches about being perverse. And it goes into some detail about that. Now, but here's interestingly what James concludes. This is the approach on how we should teach Gentiles. These three things are essential. You cannot come into our fellowship if you do these three things. If you're going to be an idolater, you cannot come in and fellowship with us. We are only here to believe in the God of Israel and that Yeshua is the Messiah. You bring any other God in, it's not going to work. You can't do it. Number two, you can't come in here and be a pervert. You can't come in here and be an adulterer. You can't be a homosexual. We don't do those things. We're not perverse. You can't come in here and be a fornicator. It's not permitted. You can't be in fellowship with us. These are essentials to you being in fellowship with us. And furthermore, he said, you cannot go around eating blood and unclean animals. Because, you see, in fellowship, we sit down and eat together. In my congregation, do not bring bacon in the green beans. Okay? It's unclean. We can't have table fellowship if you're eating unclean stuff and trying to share it with me. I'm not eating it. Verboten, brethren, don't do it. And so he said, here's the three essentials. By the way, these are called, are you ready for this? These three commandments, Torah teachers tell you, is the heart of the law. You have to do these minimally before you try to learn anything else about the faith. If you can't do these three things, then you're not going to be able to learn the Torah and the other commandments of God. You're not going to learn how to walk before God holy instead of being profane. You're not going to go how to approach God and give gifts to God and build your relationship with God because you're separating yourself from God by His definition of what are the rules of His house. You want to be in the house of God. I know you do. You want to be in His kingdom. These are the minimum rules. By the way, let me just go ahead and tell you right now, when this is all said and done, and we get to be in the kingdom, and we've been resurrected, got our new bodies, we're in heaven, there aren't going to be any idols there. You're not going to be eating pig. And you're not going to go around fornicating. We're past that. Those are the issues we have down here. They've got to be stopped. You've got to walk away from the things of the world, turn to the things of God, and follow the rules of His house. And by the way, I would remind you that Yeshua is the head of that house for us to follow. But here's how James concludes all of this teaching. He says in verse 21, for Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Why did he say that? Because once I have explained these three things to you as a Gentile that you must do to be in fellowship with other believers of Yeshua, you must do these things, then you're going to have a whole lot of questions about, well, what else am I supposed to be doing? What about this and what about that? And you're going to have a lot of questions about how do you apply And how do you learn the commandments of the Lord? And in the course of your relationship with the Messiah, where the Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments, the apostles teach that you show your love for God by learning to keep his commandments. A child shows that he loves his parent by being obedient to his parent. That's how a child shows his love to his parent. When he's disobedient, that doesn't mean he loves his mother and father. The child that loves his mother and father obeys his mother and father. Obedience and love work together. But we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about how you walk out your faith. And so he's given this instruction. Can I, as a personal testimony thing, I will tell you that in my earlier days, I was a good Baptist. I was a good Christian. I believed in Jesus. I helped build some Baptist churches. I was very involved. I was a teacher and was licensed in the faith and ministered. I was a minister of the faith and so forth. I read this verse for Moses is from ancient generations and has in every city those who preach him. Since he is taught and read in the synagogues every Sabbath, I kind of made it in mission to myself. The city I was living in, well, we didn't even do Sabbath. We did Sunday. And I don't see anybody following what James said in my city. I don't see where I could go and learn the teaching of Moses in the city where I was at. We're all full of Christians. Nobody's teaching Moses every Sabbath. And by the way, that is a tradition on how the Torah is taught that has existed for multiple millennia. You see, each Sabbath, there's a portion of the Torah that's taught. There's an annual system, there's a triannual system, to where that the whole world can learn what Moses has taught every Sabbath. And throughout the course of a year, you learn all the basics of what Moses. It's referred to as the public readings. By the way, Paul told Timothy in his ministry, he said, give attention to the public readings. Paul actually told Timothy, teach the Torah each Sabbath, wherever you're at. So I looked at that and I said, well, I don't see Moses being taught. You know what, Lord? I'm going to step up and I'm going to teach Moses wherever I'm at every Sabbath so that somebody who needs that instruction, I will be able to provide it. That was many years ago. And that is what put me on the journey to start learning what Moses and the prophets actually taught. To my shock, and that's the reason why I'm here giving you this teaching, after I had gotten through the Torah, I said, oh my gosh. I said, the New Testament is not teaching not to do this. The New Testament, both Yeshua and all of the apostles, were taught to keep the commandments of the Torah. That's certainly not what I have been told by my Christian teachers. My Christian teachers were arguing all kinds of arguments. Can't keep the law. Nobody can keep the law. By the way, this covenant's replaced that covenant. That was for the Jews. It's not for us. God replaced the Jews, replace it with the church, blah, blah, blah. All these different theologies trying to explain away the teaching of Paul. Let me take you back to the original thing that Peter said about Paul. There's some things that Paul has said that's hard to be understood by untaught and unprincipled men. And if you want to find a package of untaught and unprincipled men, just go to a seminary. Because you will find they are chasing their tail trying to figure out what God is doing. And quite honestly, this is going to be a shock to you. There's a lot of men who go to seminary and see all the confusion that's going on, and they walk away from the faith. Are you aware of the fact that new preachers that come out of Bible colleges and out of seminaries, they're not in the ministry after 5 years? It's because they don't know the faith. They don't know the faith to be sustained. They're doing things in their own strength. Their theology is all twisted up every which way. And finally, they get to the point, they say, this doesn't make sense. This is crazy. What are we doing? It doesn't work. And I bet there's a bunch of you listening right now that you've had a few questions about, is your faith really working for you? I mean, God has made all these promises. Is it really working for you? Let me pose a question for you. Yeshua said that he was a piece of bread, that if you ate of him, you'd never be hungry again. He said that he was a drink, that if you drank of him, you'd never be thirsty again. You know, whenever I get the opportunity to go and speak to an assembly of Christians, which is not very often, but when I have, one of the things I will pose the question to them, how many of you said, or you have heard it said recently, you know, I'm just not getting fed there. I'm still thirsty. I'm still not satisfied there. I still feel there's something more, and I'm just not getting it yet. And we're talking about people that go to church every Sunday. You would be amazed to see how many hands go in the air. Virtually everyone. So then I pose the question. Well, Yeshua said that he was a piece of bread that you'd never be hungry again, a drink that you'd never be thirsty again. So what's happening here? Did Yeshua like oversell himself? He's good, but he's not that good. Or is it more likely you've never eaten the bread yet and drank the cup yet? And if you haven't, then you have no idea what he was talking about. By the way, there's only one place where that bread and that cup is served. It's at a Passover Seder. It's the one that he sat down with his disciples and he specifically said, this bread is me, it's my body. This cup is my blood, my life. When you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you're eating of me, and therefore you have life, eternal life. Now, we go through the religious ritual of communion, but how many of you have ever said it at Passover Seder according to the law of Moses? Or is it just a novelty for you to believe in the Messiah? I submit to you that your righteousness better exceed that of scribes and Pharisees. They turned it into a classic show for. It was a show religion. And Yeshua took issue with them. He said specifically, unless your righteousness exceeds that of scribes and Pharisees, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. You have to have the real thing. And if you're not being taught the real thing, I mean, you've identified where your Savior's at, but you're not walking in it. You're not benefiting from it. You're not obeying the Lord. And the reason why you're not obeying is not because you don't want to. You just don't know what the commandments are. You just don't know what you're supposed to do. And then you got teachers that say, oh, you don't have to learn that. You have the grace of God. You have forgiveness. You don't have to worry about that. And so as a result, you never learn. But in this series, I'm hoping to go through the letters of Paul, and we're going to show you those things. Now, that letter that was written to the Gentiles was the teaching of Leviticus 17 and 18. If you go to Leviticus 17 and 18, as a matter of fact, I encourage you to do it. Chapter 17 is going to teach you all about idolatry. You don't get to go set up your religion and claim it's for me where you decide. He said, you don't get to go build an altar somewhere and then you go ahead and do your sacrifices. That's unacceptable to me. Now I have my rules for my house. It's in the law. You will come to the place I've appointed and you will do it the way I say. And then he said, by the way, you are no longer to eat the blood of those animals and strangled animals and unclean things. You will only eat the things that I say are food and not what you call food. And by the way, when your behavior is amongst yourself, loving one another, you will not take the, quote, the reason of love and pervert it into all kinds of other sexual aberrant behavior. I would remind you, the whole justification for homosexuality today is they're all claiming, well, we love each other. And since God is all about love, why, I want to love that guy, and I'm a guy. I want to love that little boy, because I'm a pedophile. I want to love that woman, because I'm a woman. And God says, that's not my definition of love. I will tell you exactly what my definition of love. Don't tell me I told you to do that. I told you not to do that. That's what Leviticus 17 and 18 says. And there's some passages in chapter 18 I don't feel comfortable reading to you publicly. You need to read those on your own. We're definitely not following that, but Paul did teach that. He taught that. That is what the New Testament is talking about. All right, that's our program for this week. When we come back, we're going to continue in our study about what Paul had to say to the Romans. And again, I'm going to be making the point, he's here teaching you the law and the prophets, the proper way to understand the law and the prophets. Shabbat shalom to all of you.